Sack or the Sack and Diaz or the TTPing, whatever. We're not there yet. But if you have an idea for the name of the show.
That's not a good idea, man. My last name's Sack.
I know, but see, they'll use that in creative ways against me. That we get how this dynamic works.
No. That's if Quimby chose to do that. That's not, no.
I chose a number of options for you guys, and not a single one of them made fun of you shutting up or your name being after balls.
Sack.
We'll get a good one together, but really, see, the people are here to listen to our hot takery on the winner teams in town here.
Oh, absolutely.
The Sixers and the Flyers. So the idea behind this is I'm a Sixers apologist. Chris is an apologist for the Flyers and the Phillies.
Everybody else.
And everyone else, right? So what we thought is...
Is it that bad?
Well,
I talked about firing Gabe Kapler back in May. And they were in first place.
That's because you were letting the players off the hook. But we're not getting into baseball just yet.
Can we talk about Ben Simmons?
We are. We're going to get into
it. Okay, all right.
We're going to get into it.
I just want to make sure.
I'm letting the fans know exactly where this concept came from. So,
fantastic.
Because I'm weak in my Flyers knowledge, and I'd like to know more. And you apologize for them at every turn. I get texts from you after every game. And on the other hand,
you got that many text messages.
You're a 4-for-4, but Sixers might be fourth on your list.
They're fourth.
Right. So, and there's only so many time, so much time in the day. You got a family, got kids. Well, so maybe I can glean some Sixers or NBA stuff.
Be fantastic, and I think that's something that we're going to put out to the fans here. Obviously, we did a Sixers season preview back in October.
That was fun.
We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of hell for us to try and get things set up. I think it took us about an hour. It was the day of the Eagles-Dallas massacre that happened later
back
on
in
that
October.
Night. Yeah, so
a lot's changed. So the idea behind this here, we're gonna play with it over the first few weeks, and then it's gonna find its groove. But
yes,
for the first few weeks, we're gonna try and tackle both teams in one show. So we'll do Sixers and Flyers, or Flyers and Sixers, whatever the case may be.
I think we have the content for it right now. I mean,
well, there's a lot to talk about.
Yes, there is.
So we're going to start with the Sixers first, and then we'll take a break and get into the Flyers. So really, when we were creating this run sheet, it's like, okay, so we're going to get topics. And the number one topic that we came up with was for the Sixers is, what the hell is going on?
First of all, I'm going to let you try and explain it. go ahead. You go first. And I would like to see what your thoughts are on it. Now, I have a couple ideas about what's going on with them, too. But I'd like to hear your end of it first.
There's a couple ways to look at it here. We just look at the team. We can look at the way they're playing. We can look at the reaction and what's going on. I'm saying collectively, fans, players, coaches, whatever, smelled ourselves a little bit too much before the season, right?
Way too much, yes.
You actually have to play and win the games. They do have the talent. The question was always, how do they all fit together?
Right.
For me, if you go back and listen to the first show that we did, the expectation was this defense was going to be really, really good, maybe the best in the league,
right.
And it's going to have to carry them because these fit pieces aren't really fitting. And for them to win a championship or get out of the second round of the playoffs,
yes.
They're going to have to work and try things and find things that will work. And when you do that, you end up discarding things that don't work. So there's a lot of that going on right now. Or the last, let's say, 3 weeks, month, there was a little slip up. Towards the end of December, then they come back and beat the hell out of the Bucks. And since then, the last 2-3 weeks, it hasn't been all that much fun watching them.
Their road record, from what I heard the other day, they have, out of playoff teams currently, they have the second worst road record.
Yeah.
Out of 16 teams that are currently in the playoffs, if the season ended today.
And I'm going to give credit. I've never align myself or find my perspective the same as our friend the gambler, another Philly voice. Eitan Shander wrote a column or an article, whatever you want to say, opinion piece about Brett Brown. We're going to get in Brett Brown later, but one of the things he said is, like, he was giving credit to the fans and the home crowd and everything like that, and the discrepancy within the records. You know, and I'm not one of like, oh, you know, the fans. But the fans are holding the players, it seems, a little more accountable than maybe some other people within the organization, even amongst the players themselves.
When you're 19-2 at home, that seems to be the case.
Yeah, and with what happens on the road, it looks like, too, is, you know, at least let's just talk about the last couple of weeks because, you know, we're not going to pick and choose games from November here and December.
Yeah, no one cares about that stuff.
Yeah, we're just going to go week by week. So the last couple of weeks, though, they come out strong in the first half, and you know, is it midway through the second quarter? Is it at the beginning of the third quarter? At some point, just the effort on the defensive end seems to slip.
I don't even know if it's just that though. I think a lot of it has to do with Ben Simmons. He pads his stats in the first half, and then abracadabra, he disappears in the fourth quarter every single game. Even last night, I mean, you know, me and my wife, we took our oldest son down there last night for his first Sixers game. And first quarter, he had, what, 10, 12 points? And I think he ended the first half, he had about 16. What did he end with?
I don't know. You can look it up.
20 points. That's 4 points in the second half. For a guy that continually just says, hey, well, I'm an all-star. To me, being an all-star, like, I remember we talked about this last baseball season, okay? And you wanted to harp on the fact that we spent all that money on Bryce Harper and he wasn't an all-star. You know what an all-star is? It's nothing. It has no meaning. Like, congratulations, you had a great first 3 months of the season. Here, you're going to go off to this city and you're going to go there for 3 days during a week. It has no bearing. All-star appearances, unless it's football, and the Pro Bowl's a joke, but at least they reward you for a full season of work. In basketball, like, what, you're going to get rewarded for it? All right, great. You're going to go off to the All-Star game. It has no bearing. It has no meaning. The guy needs to step up in crunch time when the games matter the most, and he is not doing that right now. He disappears. He's Cinderella. He runs away from the ball.
Let's talk a little bit about that. First thing, he doesn't say this over and over and over and over and over and over and over that he's an All-Star.
Only when they ask him about shooting.
He said it one time. He said it one time before the season when they asked him about shooting, and you know, and then he gave that this response that no one liked.
Right.
Then about a week later, he gave a response that everyone did like. So he doesn't say this over and over. We say this over and over and over. And listen, All-Star bursts don't matter. Championships matter. Playoff victories matter. Playing to win matters. But All-Star games, yeah, they do matter. It means you're a good player.
It's cool on the resume.
It means you're a good player.
All right? It's cool to look at in the resume. But, you know, at the end of your career, you can sit there and be like, oh, man, I was a 7-time All-Star.
You might be a Hall of Famer if you're a 7-time All-Star.
Yeah, but
I get what you're saying.
What you're saying is your feeling
or your view is that Ben Simmons is content with being just an All-Star and not being the best he can be.
I think he's cool with what he's doing, and I don't think he sees any flaws in his game. And if he did, he would change it. And we talked about this on our preseason show with the preview. You know, I look at it like this when it comes to Ben Simmons. You don't need to take a 3-point shot. It would be nice to take a couple of them a game, but he's gotten worse from the free throw line, and he's more reluctant now to shoot from anywhere outside. Like last night, he just kept on driving the lane. Okay, that's great. It's available to you in the first and second quarter. As the game gets closer and the minutes tick off the clock, that goes away. Teams start playing defense towards the end of the game, like more so. It's like, okay, cool, now we got to lock it up. We have a lead. That game last night, if he would have just imposed his will a little bit more and gave some help to Tobias Harris, it might, like, yeah, listen, the Sixers wound up smoking him at the end of the game. But
They covered,
but you probably could have had an easier way about it than how you had to dig it out at the end.
You said Ben Simmons, where he disappears in the second half, and I think you hit it right there, is that he doesn't necessarily disappear. It's the things that he's good at in the first half, they say, you know what, we're just going to wall that off.
Right.
And I think he does need to shoot the three-pointer. I do not want him taking jumpers. That's what the other team wants him to do. I want him to shoot the three-pointers. It gives more space to everyone to run in the lane. He can pass. They have to respect it. If he goes in the lane and gets double-teamed, what he has to do is find someone, one of his shooters, open around the perimeter somewhere. Right. If they collapse down there, you know. So with it, and I'm talking a little bit of analogies. I'm going to give you like an analogy metaphor. I don't know what the correct term is.
But please, I look forward to them.
The way that I kind of see Ben Simmons right now, you kind of have to accept him for what he is right now. Now we can argue whether that's right or not, but this is just what it is. And since you're a baseball guy, I try and find a way to compare this, all right? What I compare Simmons to here, just bear with me. Let's say you have a second-year first baseman. He steals 100 bases. He hits 330.
What first? I bought 100 of these. One for every base I'm going to steal.
You're let me finish. You have a first baseman. He steals 100 bases. He hits 330. Zero home runs. Now, we can scream and yell that first baseman hit home runs, and we need that power from – and you're missing his gold glove defense, his stolen bases. He can run around. He's the leadoff. He's a first baseman, though. First baseman do this.
I think it's based on body design playing the position.
Yeah. Well, perhaps.
Like a third baseman is jacked.
Yeah, big time.
A first baseman is jacked. Your shortstop and second baseman have to have more range. They're generally smaller and a different body type.
I understand. But you're missing. Hold on. What am I saying? Yeah. And your point guards are generally 6'3 with a really good handle that are good shooters. Now, you're missing. What happens is people are just like, well, he's a point guard. He should shoot. He should. I'm not saying he shouldn't. First baseman should hit for power.
Okay.
In this situation, though, he's not doing it. So don't look past his – he's going to make the all-NBA defense team. I don't know if it's first team or second team. He's one of the best defenders in the league. He is. He will make that team this year, one of the two. So he can post up his man. He's faster than the big guys, and he's bigger than the small guys that guard him. He doesn't shoot threes. He can. It's a mental thing, and it's something that he's going to have to get over, and I agree. But right now, the problem isn't Ben Simmons shooting bad, mid-range, inefficient shots.
How many guys are on a basketball court?
There's 10 guys.
I'm talking about just for your team, the Sixers.
Oh, five.
Five, okay. How many guys on the team do the Sixers really rely on? Who are the superstars?
Embiid, Simmons, then Harris.
No. Richardson. You had it right. They have two guys. Okay.
Richardson. You actually said Richardson?
He's tier three.
Yeah.
All right. Tobias is in a tier two by himself. But my point is you want to look at the first baseman, okay? Now, for years, now shortstop, and you want to continue with baseball analogies real fast, okay? Jimmy Rollins was not supposed to be a power hitting shortstop, okay? But he was. He could hit anywhere between 25 to 35 any given year, okay?
And he never hit more than 27.
But he could. I get it. That's only eight more.
The thing is, though, you're not supposed to get those kind of power numbers out of your shortstop. Okay? They could afford to take less at third base with a Pedro Feliz who could play a gold glove third base and take a secondary role in the lineup and bat seventh. The thing is you're not paying Ben Simmons max money to be something else. He needs to take more of a responsibility and an onus out there that, listen, my game has to evolve. And in order for us to be a championship caliber team, it has to happen now. Not next year, not the year after that, not next week, now. In order for this team to try and reach its full potential, he needs to maximize his own. And Embiid being out right now doesn't help. Because you're missing the other key component. But while Embiid is out, he needs to be the guy to lead this team. Not Tobias, not Mike Scott, not Al Horford, not Josh Richardson. It's the Ben Simmons show for the next 2 weeks at least.
I got you. I understand what your point is, and that's how it's supposed to be, and that's how it traditionally is, and that's how it was in the past, so it should be that way right now.
But it should be that way.
But it's not. And guess what? If he starts shooting, he's not a good shooter. That's why he's afraid to shoot. That's why he's afraid to go to the line. He's not a good shooter. He's going to have to get over that and be a big boy. I get it. But him shooting now, it's a bad shot. It's not a good shot. He's going to miss shots.
Take the damn shot. What's the problem? Take the shot.
That's the problem, right?
No, it's not the problem.
That's the problem.
Be a man. You're 23 years old. You're making $25, $30 million a year. Suck it up, buttercup, and take a damn shot.
I hear you, but he's not. Okay, so it's just
Yeah, but he's not.
I get it. You're right. He is not. How are they going to win this game? Now, here's the other thing, though. The team is shooting 20% from three. Ben Simmons shooting a couple threes a game will improve them long term. Not really that game, all right? Now, if he hits all three, maybe that's a confidence builder for next time. He should shoot. I agree he should shoot. He's not shooting. The other five guys that are going 1-for-5 every night that can shoot, that are good shooters, that are there because you have Ben Simmons playing like the Giannis-type role where he's supposed to drive and kick to the guys that are open to take the shots because they're collapsing down low, they need hit shots. What? Mike Scott isn't hitting anything. Tobias had not a bad day last night, but he was in a rut.
What guys can hit shots? And why the hell is Al Horford taking 9 3-pointers? Niners last night. For the love of God, get, I'm saying it just like I say to Joel Embiid. Get your big, goofy ass down in the block and do something else, because you're not doing it out on the three-point line.
I'll tell you this, is because that's exactly what,
terrible.
That's what they got him to do. Not to shoot 9 a game. He doesn't average 9 a game. But this is the deal. When they switch at, when Embiid gets hurt, and Simmons is the point man. And by point man, I don't mean just the point guard.
When Embiid gets hurt, we're waiting for the next time already.
No, I'm talking right here with Horford. The idea is to spread out and let Simmons do his thing. And when it collapses, there's two guys collapsing. One of them, is it Horford? Is it Harris? Is it Richardson? And who's the guy that I'm missing right now off the top of my head?
Scott?
Yeah, Mike Scott or Thibault or whatever.
Jay, how about this one last night? I love this at the game. Basket scored by James Ennis III. Like,
hey, what, don't knock the man, Matty Cord.
Why? No, I love Matt Cord, but the third. Like, I was waiting for someone to come out in a Rolls Royce or something like that. It was hilarious.
Excuse me, do you have any gray poupon?
Would you please pass
the
jelly?
The point that I'm trying to make
here. Let's wrap up our point, because we've got a couple more.
They're spreading. The idea is to spread them out.
Yes. And apparently your parents both should have wrapped up something before this.
Horford shouldn't be shooting 9 a game. Some games he might shoot 9.
Yeah.
He should be taking 6 a game, 5 or 6 a game. 1 the first quarter, 2 the second. It's really easy to walk out. That whole big
By the way,
thing,
Diaz, don't move your head. Because if you do, we're going to get flagged for Nisa Never's vagina.
Oh,
all right. No! I said don't move your head. Right. Close the door. The other way.
Oh, hey.
There we go. All right, thanks. Yeah.
So this whole the big man, the whole big, like, 1996 thing, and I'm sure you read Embiid's Players Tribune article, you know.
I did not read it.
But it's a different game, guys. Can we get off it, you know? Kat shoots threes. Jokic shoots threes. Embiid shoots threes. Who's another big guy here? Freaking the Lopez brothers shoot threes. They all shoot threes.
The Lopez brothers are both in the top 5 defense, by the way, in the entire NBA.
They all shoot threes. So, no, shooting 9 a game, not good.
Both of you, when you come back from break, you got to be posted up.
Is Ben Simmons is leading the team right now. It's his third year. It doesn't mean that he sucks. It doesn't mean that he's the best player in the game or even deserving of an All-Star. Right now, I'm not saying that, but he is the point person of this team for the next 3 or 4 weeks. So
who's that?
Simmons. He's the point. He's the point.
Okay. Person. All right. How many years has Ben Simmons been with the team?
This will be his fourth year. Third season. So
third
he's
season.
Two and a half seasons.
Okay.
In.
Why are we still having the same conversation?
You're right, but see the
exhausting.
But this is the thing. Exhausting. Move on from the conversation.
How can you move away from the conversation? How can you move on from that conversation?
Let's just say.
Hold on. Oh, sorry, you're in control of the show.
Yeah. Let's just say.
But look over. You got a hand raised.
I'll ask Collins. Let's just say this is it. Let's just say this is it. Jason Kidd. He's Jason Kidd again. Let's say before Jason Kidd. Got
I would
better,
take Jason Kidd.
But this is what Jason Kidd did his first 5-6 years. It is. It is.
Really?
Yes. Jason Kidd did not shoot. He was a terrible shooter. Couldn't shoot threes. He worked at his game.
But it took him to his third team to finally start shooting. Are we going to have to wait for that for Ben?
I don't. You want to trade Ben right now?
No, I'd have traded him 2 years ago when he had market value.
Yeah, you're not going to get anything for him right now.
Yeah, he makes $8 million.
You have a better shot of getting Markelle Fultz back.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I'll tell you this: anyone would take Ben Simmons.
Who bodied
right
a
now.
Flopping LeBron?
Now I understand. Now the issue comes back with you know, win now
did
or
you,
develop.
Did you go to Hollis yet?
Oh, he put his hand down. Hollis, would you like to say? Would you like to participate?
Please. It was just a little something. We should not be talking about this year the same thing with Ben Simmons year in and year out. He needs to shit or get off the pot. Excuse the language, but it's one of those things where he's a basketball player. Shooting as a basketball player, it should be number one. I feel like he can take command of a game just by exactly his dominance. But he's so scared to shoot, and then you talk about Jason Kidd. The part where Jason Kidd was better than Ben Simmons, he had a mid-range jumper. Ben Simmons won't even try that.
All right, I'm going to stop right there. I can't take the mid-range jumper. I can't take it. It is the worst shot in basketball. Every team wants you to shoot mid-range. It is the least efficient shot. The most efficient shot in the NBA is
layups. Over a 3-point shot?
If you hit three threes, right? That's
because
not,
I think Joel's entire existence is mid-range jumpers. And he is one of, if not the best shooter on the team.
Let me, I'll give you, here is the.
Hold on, no. I want you to defuse that argument right now.
Okay, I'm not talking about Joel Embiid.
I am.
Okay, well, Joel Embiid is one player.
No, talk about all the fucking centers that shot mid-range for every championship team. Chicago, what was that redhead's name?
Luke Longley.
25 years. That's the point.
No, but
let me give you, I'm going to give you the real stats.
Tony Kukoc.
Here's the stats. Here are the stats. All right, guys. This is how it works here. The most efficient shot in basketball is a free throw. All right? You score the most points.
And he shouldn't even talk. Why is that in the equation? Okay.
Listen, if you guys want to interrupt the whole time, we can do it. This is how Houston plays. Houston plays layups, free throws, and threes. Those are the three most efficient, all right? I'm looking at it right now.
Say that again, please. Houston plays.
All they do is take layups, they shoot threes, and get to the foul line.
Their whole game is going to the hole.
Going to the hole and kicking for threes.
That sounds like a night at Queens.
That's why when people say the game is spread out.
You said it's layups, free throws, and three-pointers.
Yeah.
So they don't even have a mid-range.
That's because I'm telling you, Quimby, it's the most.
I'm not arguing. I'm trying to understand.
Okay.
Let me get to the point. Sorry.
What I mean is this. What effective field goal percentage means is what they do is they take all of those shots at each little location, free throw line, layups, non-restricted paint, all that. They take it all. They see how many points are scored versus how many attempts. And what you can expect to get, the most effective shot is a free throw. The second is restricted, which means basically layups. Then it's corner threes. From there, it's other threes. Then it goes to mid-range and non-restricted paint, which is like, you know, outside of the restricted zone.
Okay.
So why people don't like Houston's game or watching them is because they look at the math and those numbers work out. It's just like the shift in baseball. It's just like, I've seen Ryan Howard hit a single down the left field line. The shift doesn't work. And you're like, yeah, that one time, that's right. Overall, it's threes, free throws, and layups. So what happens is Embiid, if Simmons has the ball, Embiid goes out, and if Embiid has the ball down low, everyone goes out to take threes.
So wait,
that's
a
minute, the whole
point. All right, so free throws,
mid-range.
Free throws, layups, three-pointers.
That's it.
All right, and Ben Simmons sucks at two of those. Quimby.
That's right. So what?
He sucks at three. He sucks at two of them. He doesn't attempt one.
But what's your point?
He's 55% from the free throw line. Right. He needs to get better.
He does need to get better. Is he better right now? There's two things we're talking about. I'm saying
better at what?
I'm explaining this. It's like the Eagles this year. Oh my God, these injuries again. They always get injured. They shouldn't get injured. It's like, yeah, but
why do we have to turn our attention to other things and analogies? Just look at the guy's game. He needs to get better, Quimby.
Hi, guys. My name is Quimby, 49 years old, Capricorn. Billy Ray Valentine, Capricorn. It's amazing that you pull that stat with Houston. All right. Sure, free throws. Obviously. Everybody, a team from the free throw line has to be at least 60%. All right. Layups restricted. Of course. Right. The closer you are to the basket,
higher percentage.
The higher the percentage. So, after that, you said their next highest percentage is three-pointers.
That's right.
It's because they don't take any mid-range shots. They are not the Dirk Nowitzki and, San Antonio Spurs.
Tim Duncan.
Who... him and Dirk Nowitzki lived their lives off the backboard, which is a shot that no longer exists. So let's talk about the root of that particular situation. There's no glory in the mid-range jumper.
You just don't score.
There's no glory in the mid-range jumper. Okay? Which is, if you use the backboard, one of the easiest fucking shots there is in the NBA. Why? Because it's closer to the rim. B, because there's an aiming point. It's the corner, that little fucking square that no longer has any existence whatsoever on a basketball bat.
That's what a mid-range is. A mid-range shot is like from the elbow out.
Lenny Fader can inside hit the top of that box.
Talking about somebody that's 12 feet out, and that was Tim Duncan and Dirk Nowitzki using the backboard all day long.
No, they don't use the backboard.
I just wanted to say this for you because I feel like we were talking more about our team. I just don't want us to get to the playoffs and defenses start sagging and stopping him from coming into the lane. See, if you get that little mid-range jumper and you're consistent at it, where you say it doesn't work, it's like how many titles have Houston won with the method?
How many has D'Antoni won?
Yeah,
I hear you. What I'm saying though, the point I'm trying to Houston is in the playoffs every single year. They get 60-55 wins, and then you know what?
And they go nowhere
in the playoffs. They haven't won. They had the greatest dynasty besides outside of the Celtics in the 60s, the Golden State Warriors. Who knows? What the point is just talking about efficiency. Mid-range jump shots aren't a good shot. That's what the defense is. That's what defenses across the league try to make every team. Now, there could be one guy, Joel Embiid or Dirk Nowitzki, that's really good at them.
No, but this is what I'm saying. For our guy, he doesn't have a jumper, so everybody's going to be playing him to go to the hole. So they're going to crowd the hole all the time. He needs to develop that mid-range jumper to bring them away from the basket, which will spread out the floor more for our team.
I want to get one more topic here, and then we have to take a break. But let's just say this: everyone, we agree that Ben Simmons needs to take a jumper. Okay, Ben Simmons needs to take. Excuse me,
his game needs to get all around better.
He needs to take threes.
No, he doesn't need to take threes. Why does he need to take threes?
This is why, Quimby. This is why. He's not a good shooter. Mid-range shots overall. Now, I know you want to use some stat from 1997 that isn't a stat. I'm giving you actual statistics. It's the worst shot in basketball. The other team wants you to take those shots. Listen, if he's wide open, yeah, he should shoot it. I don't want them to run plays for him.
And that is the reason why I say that, because the mid-range jumper is always open.
Because it's a bad shot. That's what the defense wants you to do.
It's a bad shot if your player can't shoot.
It's a bad shot for any player. There's a better shot. That's
well, how
what
about,
they do.
How about we do this?
No, hold on.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, well, let.
I keep interrupting this is my show. This is not my show.
What I don't want to do on the show all the time is talk about is Ben Simmons shooting, because this team is winning.
I do not want for us to get off on this tangent.
Yeah, because this team wins and loses regardless of what's going on with Ben Simmons shooting. Okay, the team, his ceiling, the team will be better long term. The problem that's going on right now isn't Ben Simmons shooting. It's the lack of hustle on defense in the second half. It's the lack of focus. It's the lack of fire. And it's the lack of everyone else not shooting well. Ben Simmons has never shot. They win and lose games with him not shooting. Would he be better? Yes, he would be better. He's not shooting right now. But the other guys that when they, you know, what did they shoot on Christmas night? You know, they shot 65.
Hold on a second. I know that number. 800-555-1776.
So, you know, so Ben Simmons, we agree. It's like talking
about
any
player. It also doesn't help that Embiid is out right now. You don't have your full complement. You don't have your your legit superstar.
Yeah, and this is a concern. This is a concern I have.
Horford ate Joel Embiid's lunch every playoff game for the last 2 years. I don't want to hear that.
Well, also, he was yakking it up, though, in that Raptors series.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Can we talk about that?
Well, you guys should probably do it after break because you're getting there.
What are we on here?
We could spill a little bit over into Sixers because the Flyers, were going to.
Then let's take break now. Then we're going to talk about Brett Brown. And we're just going to close up with some trade needs, upcoming schedule, and then we'll hit the Flyers.
And some Fly guys.
And the Flyers.
Your orange and black are no longer welcome in the studio.
TDB!
All right, everybody. This is the Diaz and Sack Show, which we're going to come up with a name for. They're allowing me just for a moment because we did not go over Green Legion Radio sponsors. The Diaz and Sack Show, the Get Tanked Happy Hour, the soon-to-be Rob Valivas and Chris Sack Baseball Show, all powered by the Green Legion. Everything is made possible by our good friends at Miller Lite. Do not forget, if you're drinking beer, you're drinking Miller Lite. We all have that here. I've got this in Diaz's face as we're looking over here. Our good friends at Stateside Vodka, that's premium vodka distilled right here in historic Fishtown section of Philadelphia. As well, our good friends at Workhorse Brewing. Our good friend Dan Hirschberg is bringing us in for the Super Bowl party. I ignored him yesterday while I was hungover. I apologize, Dan. We will talk tomorrow.
Well done. We're professionals over here.
Our good friend JP Lutz at Bucks County Baseball Company. Their website is bigger than their showroom, which is difficult to say. BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. Our good friend Mike McVay at David Dodge Chrysler Jeep. If you're looking for a vehicle, go in. You start talking about sports, you forget how much money you spend, and you're walking out with a great car. Mike McVay is very notorious for that. All of our friends at the Cavanaugh's Restaurants, our good friend Ken Hutchings and Pat Pavlicek, they own Riverdeck down on Delaware Avenue, which is currently closed for the season, Head House, which is right off of 2nd and South, Rittenhouse, our good friend Paul, working the basement bar, and of course, Brian Pavlicek up at 39th and Sansom, the University City Cavanaugh's, the beautiful ladies at Delilah's, which... I don't know if we're making it there tonight. I'm kind of getting... Yes, I'm with you. I might just stay here and rub one out on my own, but that's okay. Yeah, I'm all right with that. Our great friends in Manayunk and the people that started all this with us, our friends at the Bayou and Cactus at the top of the hill, our friends at Bourbon Blue down at the bottom of the hill at Rector Street, and of course the love child of the Bayou and Cactus, the Manayunk Sport and Social Club, the most social intramural sports leagues in Philadelphia, our good friend Ken Davies and all the City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, Fishtown, Logan Square, something else, and East Market. I forget the one, but it's there. And, of course, our good friend Jeff Quinn and our fitness friends across the bridge at Echelon Health and Fitness, our good podcast friends, E-Rock and the boys at 4th and John. E-Rock was kind enough to join us on our last podcast at Chickie's, which was awesome to have. And our good friend Sean Brace with Philly Influencer and 102.5 The Gambler. And, of course, our biggest sponsor, Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. Please support Chickies and Pete's wherever you can in any location worldwide.
Can't wait for next season to be back there.
I know.
That's so much fun.
That was pretty good. That was all off memory.
Delicious. Yeah, that's good. I was trying to write them down, and I didn't want to miss them.
I missed one. I got to see what it was.
The name of the list is called Self-Love.
One of the... Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, Market, East Market.
I mean, you've only been saying it every Tuesday for the last 18 weeks. So,
and reading it from the
for the last year and a half.
Dancing
with myself.
Well, anyway, let's hit this. Boys, back to you. Diaz and Sack, this is your show.
Let's just hit a couple last topics, go right into Flyers, because I'm looking to learn a little bit here because, you know, like everyone else on the planet, I don't pay that much attention to hockey.
Everybody else on the planet.
Yeah, except for talking smack outside to people of Canada, like you. Right? That's right. We'll have a little bit of the Johnny Black, thanks to Hollis, and we'll get into it. I mean, hey, we're gonna talk about Brett Brown
right now. Let's touch base, please. Let's do it.
There's positives, there's negatives, there's mixed feelings.
What positives do you see?
I'll give you some positives, actually. Since he started calling plays, and, you know, I don't know if you know this, but in basketball, they don't call plays like in football. They script out everything.